Welcome, everyone, to episode 199 of the NBA Podcast. I'm Brian Toporek, and today we are going to talk about the Adrian Wojnarowski blockbuster that Anthony Davis wants a trade away from the New Orleans Pelicans. We're also going to give our All-Star Reserve picks. Before we get underway, a reminder that you can follow us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. You can find our Twitter handles in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some five-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Joining me today, as always, is my very stable genius of a co-host, Morten Jensen. How's it going, Mort?
Well, I probably feel a lot better than Dell Demps and the rest of the New Orleans Pelican staff right now.
You know, I'm trying not to be a total dick, but I will say this. 2 weeks ago, when the Saints beat the Eagles in the playoffs, the Saints taunted the Eagles by playing Meek Mill in their locker room. Today, news breaks that their superstar wants out and their team is just going to be a train wreck for the next 5 years. I'm not going to say that there's a Meek Mill curse as powerful as the Little B curse, but I'm just putting it out there. It feels like it might be a thing. I'm sorry, New Orleans fans. I had to. That's what you got. Yeah.
So, by the way, we were talking a couple of episodes ago about how the Pelicans couldn't really afford to bring Julius Randle back.
Right.
They kind of have to now in some way, meaning that they will actually have to trade AD before, right?
No, they have non-bird rights on Randle, so all they can offer is 120% of what he's earning this year.
Right, but if they clear AD in some, yeah. Like take on a big expiring contract. So then they could actually re-sign him with cap space.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, I guess. But that seems difficult to...
Yeah.
That's like a tough sell. I mean, I think if you're... Let's just go into... So the report is... Woj broke it this morning. Is that,
I love that you need to break this down like people don't know by now.
Well, it says he won't sign a contract extension and he's requested a trade.
Yes.
So he's eligible for the Supermax come July 1st, which is around 5 years, $240 million.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the trade deadline is a week from Thursday, which, in theory, puts the Pelicans under a lot of pressure to move him now while he still has a year and a half left on his deal, or otherwise they run the risk of, you know, diminishing returns the further along they get here. So, right. I think, you know, the Rich Paul, who is Davis's agent, told Woj that that Anthony Davis wanted to be honest and clear with his intentions, and that's the reason of informing them of this decision now. That's in the best interest of Anthony and the organization's future. So, the first question is, do you think the Pelicans move him in the next 10 days?
No.
Neither do I.
And here's why.
Yeah.
And this is actually a different take than most people have.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at their draft pick.
Uh-huh.
Right now, slated to be 10th, but, you know, mm-hmm. the draft lottery gods can play a role. Mm-hmm. What if they end up with number one in Zion? Does AD still want out?
Mm.
Could Zion be flipped for a superstar? Like, I mean, I just wouldn't want to move him at this stage without knowing what I'm going into in the summer. Like, imagine if you trade him now and then you win number one.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
that's part of my reasoning. And also, like, obviously, what you're about to say, you know, Boston cannot get into the bidding war unless they move Kyrie Irving. But, like, what's the point?
Correct. Yeah. So, because Kyrie is on a designated rookie contract extension, which means he got 30%, the Rose Rule max, mm-hmm. so is Anthony Davis. You can only have one of those guys on your roster at a time that you have acquired via trade. You can have two at one time, one you've signed yourself, and one you've acquired via trade.
Right.
So, unless they trade Kyrie, unless the Celtics trade Kyrie, they can't get Davis by trade until July 1st, which is when Kyrie will sign a new contract, and thus the Rose Rule thing doesn't matter anymore. Then Anthony Davis will be their one Rose Rule guy acquired via trade. So, right now, the Lakers, obviously, are... you know, celebrating because they're also gearing up at a run for AD. And they would ideally like to land him this right now to save their flailing season. And also, you know, they have less competition. Because when Boston comes in July 1st, do you think, like, there's any offer the Lakers can cobble together that beats the best that Boston could offer?
I mean, I think that depends on how New Orleans looks at Jason Tatum, really.
Okay, yeah.
It really depends on how high of a ceiling they think Tatum has specifically. Because, obviously, you and I, you know, we're looking at Tatum as being far superior than Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart and those guys. But, like, yeah. If the offer is, like, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, and a slew of first-rounders compared to Jason Tatum and crap.
Right.
Then it becomes a legitimate discussion.
Yeah. And that's what I wonder about Boston, because we know it's the tradition, every trade deadline, is Danny Ainge reportedly, and every draft too, usually, Danny Ainge reportedly offers, like, nothing. He offers this, like, poo-poo platter of garbage. Reportedly. And then, like, Celtics fans get mad because, you know, they're like, oh, you have to land the superstar. And it's worked out very well for them, obviously. That, you know, despite their struggles this year, their core is fantastic. Mm-hmm. But it does make me wonder, like, is Danny Ainge going to call the Pelicans July 1st and be like, all right, we're interested in Anthony, but we will not trade Kyrie Irving. We will not trade Jason Tatum. We will not trade Jaylen Brown. You could have Marcus Morris and Gordon Hayward. Or no, sorry, Marcus Smart and Gordon Hayward.
I mean, obviously, that's one of those few times where you actually hang up the phone.
Right. So that's, I mean, that is kind of what I wonder, is how far is Boston willing to go? Because I'm with you. Like, if I'm New Orleans, I hang up the phone unless Tatum's involved.
Yep.
Like, Jaylen Brown is not the centerpiece of this trade.
No. If anything this year proved to Boston, that is that Jaylen Brown is just not that guy yet. Right. And maybe never becomes that.
Yeah, I don't ever think he's going to be the number one guy you can build around. I think he can be a valuable piece, like a valuable rotation player. Possibly even, like, at his ceiling, a number two or number three guy on a championship team, maybe. But he's never going to, like, you can't have him as the centerpiece of your rebuild. There's no way.
Right, but okay, but to be fair, he needn't be. Like, you don't necessarily get, like, a top-tier organizational leader from day one when you trade a superstar who actively wants out. Like, then you are going to take a certain loss. And if the best guy you get back is, like, the second-best guy on a championship-level team, like, that's pretty fine. The thing is, Jaylen Brown just does not project as that.
Right.
Even that. Like, Jason Tatum, you can still make that argument. I think this year has also proven a little bit that Tatum, you know, the expectation level on Tatum should maybe be reeled in just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that he's not fantastic. He's obviously very talented. He's going to be an efficient scorer, an all-around player, yada, yada, yada. But AD is averaging 30 and 13
right.
and 2.5 blocks. Like,
yeah.
This is maybe the most talented power forward of all time.
Yeah. I like that you call him a power forward because he refuses to be called a center.
Well, yeah, he's played exclusively center this year. I'll give him that. But I don't know. This is the guy where you cash in your chips, right? I mean,
yeah. Yes. I mean, yeah. In theory, this is what Boston has been building up for multiple years now. Like, they knew this was going to happen, or they hoped this was going to happen. And now you're here. And now, I mean, like, for Tatum, I wonder, you know, we saw him in the playoffs last year. He was an absolute monster, and he was the number one option on that team.
Yeah.
I wonder if in Boston this year, it's literally just a problem of, like, too many mouths to feed. And if he went to a New Orleans team where, you know, he's the clear-cut number one or number two option, depending on what they do with Drew Holiday, like, he might feast.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not suggesting at all that Tatum isn't the guy that we thought he'd be. It's just a matter of tempering expectations in the short term.
Right.
Like, you know, you and I both saw a lot of Boston fans on Twitter after the playoffs last year going, oh, you know, Tatum next year is going to take this leap. He's going to score 25 a game. He's going to be the next Larry Bird. Like, chillax a little bit. Yeah. Like, that has not come to fruition, and it was also very unfair to put that label on him.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of also gauging like his trade value, because I know that a lot of people said, oh, he's like top two in the league in terms of trade value. No. Well, he probably shouldn't be that high, right? I mean,
right.
I would take Luka Doncic 10 times out of 10 over Tatum, for example.
Yeah.
I mean, so it really depends on what you're looking for as well if you're New Orleans. I mean, they are... I've seen a few guys throw out, like, why not trade Kyrie Irving? Mm-hmm. Like, why not just... Yeah, because what would the use be for Irving in New Orleans?
Right.
With AD gone. He would leave. Like that, right, exactly. Like, that negates the whole purpose.
Yeah, that's the problem with a lot of trades now, is like, you know, I've seen Philly fans say that Philly should get in on him, and like, yeah, Philly could offer Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy Butler's going to leave in July. There's no point. If Philly's getting in on this, it's Ben Simmons as a starting point.
And I'll do that immediately.
Why not build around one injury-prone big man if you're Philly, when you can build around two injury-prone big men? It'll be great.
But, I mean, damn. Could you just imagine Joel Embiid and Anthony Davis up front, though?
I know. It would be... I mean, I'm not saying they shouldn't at least inquire, but I'm saying the price of admission is Ben Simmons. It's not Jimmy Butler. So, and it might be... If you're doing it before July, it might be both of them.
Oh. Okay, well, that's a tough sell, because then you're basically starting over with Embiid and Davis both on gigantic contracts. And
right.
And your flexibility is kind of ruined. If you could somehow retain Butler and you just run forward with a core of Embiid, Davis, and Butler, I mean, none of those three guys are natural shooters, but it certainly beats the living hell out of Ben Simmons not even taking the threes, really.
Hey,
so,
he took a three.
He did.
Part of me, that's a conspiracy theory, because he shares an agent with Anthony Davis, right? Do you think Rich Paul called Ben Simmons up on Saturday night? It was like, hey, Anthony Davis is requesting a trade on Monday. If you don't start taking threes, Philly's shipping your ass out.
Well, I mean, see, that's a deal. That's an interesting deal, because that's the kind of player I would be looking for. Like Tatum, Ben Simmons, like someone in that age group, which again, no one like Kyrie Irving, who's what, 26?
Yeah.
27, like in prime players.
Right.
No, early 20s and draft picks.
Yeah.
That's the formula here.
Yes.
But at the same time, you also have to look at the situation from a different perspective, which is what are the offers that comes in? Because there is no reason for a team to overpay if the competitive offers are very low.
Right. And that, again, is part of the reason New Orleans should not pounce in the next 10 days.
Yeah.
Just because it's basically Lakers are bust right now. Like, come July, you got at least Boston in the mix. Mm-hmm. And then you also know how the draft lottery shakes out. So Boston could have upward of 4 first-round picks in June. So, like, there's nothing preventing Boston from agreeing to a deal before the draft, like after the lottery, before the draft, in which they give multiple picks if they do get those picks this year, plus Tatum, plus whatever, and then just execute it on after July 1st. But, like, you know, New Orleans can effectively make those picks on draft night. So, like, Boston has its own pick. I think Memphis is top 8 protected. They have the Kings pick if it's not number 1 overall. And then the Clippers lottery protected pick. So there's, like, you know, a non-zero chance that they end up with 2 or 3 late lottery picks. The Kings and the Grizzlies, at least. And then the Clippers, if they make the playoffs, they'll still be 16 or so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's a lot of valuable draft ammunition. And I know the draft doesn't look particularly deep this year, but you could package 2 of those picks if you're New Orleans to then move up, and then you know, pack with your own pick, then you've got 2 top 10 picks.
I agree. I mean, it's a lot of flexibility. So, what's the full parameters of the deal that you're proposing right now?
If I'm Boston.
No, if you're new, yeah,
Boston, if I'm New Orleans calling Boston,
yeah, you just mentioned all the picks. Like, what's the full parameters of this trade?
I think it's at least, I think for salary matching purposes, you're going to have to include Marcus Smart. So it's Tatum, Smart, whatever else you need to match salaries. I don't know if that would be enough as is.
What about Hayward? Like, I know, he's a bad contract.
Yeah.
He's a bad contract. And this is how we need to look at Hayward at this point. I understand that people are going to be furious and, hey, he's more than a bad contract. I'm saying right now.
Right, right.
But because he's a bad contract, you can actually squeeze the lemon.
With, oh, like New Orleans says, we'll take back Hayward if you give us even more.
Like all picks. Four first rounders, if that's the way that it turns out, and Tatum and stuff like that.
Mm.
Like basically, we'll clear all your crap.
Right.
And we'll give you, you know, arguably a top three, top four player in the NBA who's in his absolute prime, dominating the entire league.
Yeah.
And then you also give us a ton of draft picks as compensation as well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's an interesting idea. It's like, we say this with all due respect to Hayward, because we know he's coming back from, you know, a devastating injury, and it was never going to be easy, but, like, there was the report that came out Saturday that, like, a Warriors player called him a liability on both ends of the court. That's just, at a certain point, you have to acknowledge the guy is making $31 million this year, he's coming off the bench, and he's not producing. Like, it's that, you know, it sucks, it's a crappy situation. But it is, like, from a business perspective and a financial perspective, that is an albatross for Boston right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, from the human side, it sucks to say that, but, you know, the NBA is also a business, and you have to consider that.
Right. So, and this is partly, we talked about, like, Mike Conley and Marc Gasol in the other pod. Mm-hmm. I think this is the way you should go about it when you really have a star who wants out.
Yeah.
Basically, just try to maximize the value. Remember when Kemba Walker was in the trade rumor mill,
mm-hmm.
and we had a discussion about, you know, Kemba should not be packaged with a bad contract because you wouldn't be able to get as much for him.
Right, right.
So let's say you actually have this superstar who is like a top-tier guy. If you just offer him while also taking on all this type of crap, just imagine the return you could get. Like, your entire franchise could actually be reset within that one trade. One trade. Instead of doing the good old, oh, you know, we're trading Powell for Kwame Brown, and then we'll work our way up. Like,
right.
No. I mean, obviously they got Mark, but no one knew. So, but, like, that's just a different perspective of it. Offer everything. Because you know you're starting over. I've seen a few Pelicans fans go, well, we wouldn't trade Drew Holiday if we traded AD. Why? Why wouldn't you want to trade Drew Holiday?
Right.
What am I missing? What's he going to do there? What's the point?
So that was, I had two other questions about this whole thing. One was, if you're New Orleans and why you wait for July, you also wait to see where the number one pick ends up. Because, depending on who gets that pick, if Chicago gets that pick, Chicago could put together a somewhat interesting offer.
Yes, they can. And Zion, they're probably going to.
Yeah, Zion, LaVine, I think, ideally, if you're Chicago at that point, you probably want to keep Markkanen and give up Wendell Carter. Just because I think Markkanen would stylistically be a better fit. But then again, if Anthony Davis doesn't want to play center, maybe
you One of those two.
Yeah, right. One of those two. Yeah.
Well, it's the East. I think playing center in the East, unless, of course, it's against Joel Embiid, I think it's a little bit different.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. The Bulls have had a hard-on for Chicago players for a long time.
Right.
I mean, again, just look at Jabari, Dwayne Wade a couple years back, obviously Rose.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this would be a dream come true for them from a PR perspective. The thing is, Davis said that he would, through his agent, that he would want to go to a place that could win consistently.
Mm-hmm.
You need to read between the lines. What he's basically saying is, I want to be at a stable franchise that can put together a winner consistently.
Yeah.
That's not the Bulls.
Right.
That's not the Knicks.
Right.
That's not some poorly run organization.
Right.
And you can argue that the Lakers have just, you know, turned the corner, but they were incompetent for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm.
But because they got LeBron, now they have this stemple of, you know, quality and, or stamp of quality. That was the Danish term. And that just changes the entire narrative. Like, now the Lakers are looked at as a very serious organization who knows what they're doing, which, you know, you can argue if that's true or not. But, I mean, they have LeBron. What more proof do you need if you're a player?
Yeah, right. Yeah, so That's part of it. The other part is, as you said, Drew Holiday and, like, all of their veterans. Like, you know, go back to the Julius Randle situation. As you said, they could clear cap space and actually have enough cap space to re-sign him. But if they don't go that route, if they are planning to take a Gordon Hayward, which would restrict their cap space, why not trade Julius Randle right now? Why not trade Nikola Mirotic right now, who's also going to be a free agent? Why not trade Drew Holiday? I mean, Drew Holiday is making a lot of money, but he has a flat salary for the next 2 years. And, like, you know, it's $26 million, but Drew Holiday is at least, you know, we'll talk about our all-star reserves. He's at least a fringe all-star this year. Yes. I mean, he's playing really well. I think we talked about Mike Conley trade offers last pod. I think if the Pelicans put Drew Holiday on the block, they get better offers for him than the Grizzlies do for Drew Holiday.
Undoubtedly.
For Mike Conley. Yeah.
Oh, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly.
I know the injury history, but he's still younger.
He's younger, he's cheaper, and, I mean, look, I'm waffling here because I was about to say he's better, but at the very least, yeah, he could be. It's a toss-up either way. I mean, but considering his age and...
Defensively, at least, like, he's one of the better on-ball defenders in the league.
Yeah, and that's partly because he's got greater size.
Yeah.
And again, like, Conley is 6'1", that's not going to age very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's at least... Like, I'm with you. And that's where, you know, if I want Philly to get involved, that's where I want to get involved. I want Drew Holiday back in Philly. Anthony Davis is such a pipe dream that that's not going to happen. But if you could somehow get Drew Holiday out of this, if the Pelicans just go all in on a rebuild, that's interesting.
Yeah. So let's just ask the big question here because, you know, you and I are sitting here bringing up names and teams and whatnot. Is there any way he's not a Laker?
I mean, the one, he hasn't done the whole, like, I'm only re-signing in LA thing.
Yet.
Right. If he does that, I think it does restrict the market. Like, I don't think whichever team wins the number one pick at that point probably does not give that up.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Celtics might still be willing to gamble, though. Just based on the Paul George situation, and, like, we'll see what happens with Kawhi this summer. Right. But if he re-signs in Toronto, I think Boston could sell Davis on, you're still next to Kyrie. You know, he's inked long-term. We still have whichever players we don't give up for you. Like, regardless of who they give up, they'll still have a pretty decent amount of talent around him. And it's still, like, you know, it's still Boston. It's still, we have the history. We have... you know, 16 championships or whatever. Like, we are one of the best basketball franchises of all time. We have the culture you've been looking for. Like,
the Lakers can say the exact same thing, though.
I know, but if it comes down to, like, New Orleans preferring Boston's offer, I don't think New Orleans doesn't give a damn. And I don't think Boston pulls back. I guess, like, that's the question of if AD says I'm only re-signing in L.A., does Danny Ainge then say, all right, Tatum's off the table?
I could see that.
Yeah. And in which case, you're right. Probably LA has the best offer.
The thing, I'm just looking at the agent connection.
Yeah, I know.
Look, can we talk about that for a second? I think it's becoming a little bit disgusting now.
I'll agree with you in 5 years when Ben Simmons also forces his way to LA.
Yeah. Well, you can agree with me now. I know. Yeah. I mean, this business of NBA, you know, trades and dealership and all that, I mean, everything seems to be somewhat prearranged now because you have those agents in the back just going on about, you know, let's put this superstar team here. And everything is kind of playing to LeBron's flute, which, you know, actually negatively affects my opinion of LeBron in an all-time setting because you know, that's he manufactures teams this way. I actually have a problem with that. I think it's ruining the integrity of the league.
How do you legislate it out, though?
Yeah, that's the problem. You probably can.
Right. Like, that's kind of what I wonder is, like, you can't force an agent not to represent certain players, right?
Right.
Because, like, if they're good agents and they, like, have power, then... that's of course the superstar is going to want. You know, if Rich Paul could force or like prove that he can get a player on the team he wants and get him the contract that he wants, then other superstar players are going to notice and they're going to want to sign with him. Like,
but I mean, at the end of the day, it is tampering. It yeah. is because yeah. it is LeBron's word getting over to AD. Like, right. let's stop pretending that this might have happened. Like, they
LeBron said it publicly yeah. a month ago. Yeah.
Right.
He said it would be amazing to play with Anthony Davis. And then, like,
it's tampering.
Yeah, and every team got mad about it, but the NBA didn't do anything about it. Because it's a player, not an owner.
Right.
But even like, still, I mean, what? But, like, I think the fine for tampering is, like, $50,000 or something like that. Like,
yeah, LeBron, I think Magic got $500,000, but even so, yeah. that's not a lot.
He's an executive, but like LeBron's making what $30+ million every year his $1 billion Nike contract. Like the fines aren't enough to dissuade them, and I think you know it raises again like the question about the Supermax. Like this was supposed to be the counter to these star free agents leaving, and like that was the number one reason. In theory, the Pelican, like, had Davis not come out and said, I want a trade, that's why they weren't going to do it before the deadline, is because they were going to wait and hand him a $240 million contract and see what he says. So, you know, we've seen it with Butler now, with Cousins, with Kawhi, where either the team didn't want to offer the Supermax, in the case of Butler and Cousins, or the team, it sounds like the... Spurs were willing to offer the Supermax, but their relationship with Kawhi just deteriorated to the point, like past the point of no return. Right. But there are ways, you know, Eric Pincus of Bleacher Report wrote an article last month, you know, kind of when this whole LeBron comments about AD thing came out. And he noted that A, Anthony Davis has a trade kicker, and B, because of that, there are ways for him to make almost as much money almost as much as his Supermax without actually getting the Supermax. Like, if he times it right and he's, like, signs his big long-term deal once he's had 10 years of service in the league and he can get the 35% max.
Right.
Then I think he falls, like, $15 million short of the Supermax. But when you're earning $200+ million and you also have all your, you know, off-court advertisements and media, whatever, like, I'm sure he's got a big sneaker contract. This guy's set for life. Like, I know it sounds absurd that
and a big market.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, it sounds absurd that $15 million is enough to change his mind, but when you're dealing with $200+ million...
It's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, is it worth... Right, yeah. It's like, not worth tying... You know, he's been with New Orleans since they got drafted, and he can rightly see that, like, we're just not going to win a ring here. Like, they have not run the team well enough... I saw a stat this morning that, like, since that draft, and Charlotte got MKG second in that draft, and they were 7-59 that year. Since that draft, Charlotte has won more games than New Orleans.
Yeah. That's awful.
Like, Davis rightly does not want to sign the rest of his prime away there. So I don't know, like, could you make the Supermax even more enticing? Could you make it so, like, teams can offer 40% of their cap and another team could offer 30? Sure.
But, or like, only a percentage of it should count towards the cap so you don't get hamstrung? Yeah.
Yeah, I get right. I guess, like, a no limit but 35% on your cap? Yeah, sure, maybe. Maybe that does it. But, like, right now, the Supermax as is not effective. And this is the latest example of that.
And when the AD trade goes down, which it will, unless they do get Zion and move him for something really, really good, you know, that's probably going to prompt Adam Silver and the entire league office to reevaluate what needs to be done. I could imagine them having a conversation with the players' union and trying to figure out, you know, what should we do? Because our product is ultimately getting hurt.
Right. Yeah. Any final thoughts on this AD situation before we move to your favorite topic,
All-Stars? Well, no, I think we covered most of it. It's just, I do feel as though it is an unfortunate situation. Like, I've pointed this out a couple times before. You actually have two players on the Pelicans outside of Davis that are averaging 20 points a game. You have Nico averaging 17. You have Etuan Moore averaging 12. Mm-hmm. Like, you actually have players alongside AD. The thing is, they all primarily play at the big position.
Yeah.
So New Orleans would just you know, I actually appreciate the way they've gone about this, but they should have done something to, like, redistribute the talent more evenly. Mm-hmm. So they would have had, like, a legit wing, because that's mm-hmm. really what was needed here.
Yeah.
And it's been needed for years, and it would be so ironic that the AD trade is what's going to bring them a good wing in Jason Tatum, for example, or Brandon Ingram or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it is actually pretty sad when you think about, like, the entirety of it, especially if he lands in, like, Boston or LA, one of the big markets. Like, he's going to be one of those guys he's not going to get Kevin Love, but you're not going to see AD, like, average 40 and 20 over a long stretch anymore.
Right.
Like, he's going to be one of those, hey, I'm just going to chill here because I have this major supporting cast next to me at 21 points, 9 rebounds, whatever.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's not fun as fans and observers, mm-hmm. because you like the big stat lines. You like to see him go, you know, balls to the wall, and those days will be effectively gone.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I, you know, all jokes aside from the top of the episode, I really do feel for New Orleans fans. Like, this is just a crappy situation, and you could see it coming, which makes it somewhat better and somewhat worse. Yeah, like, at least you were aware, and, like, people have been warning you that this is at least on the horizon for the last couple months especially. But, you know, it still sucks. And, you know, hopefully, at least, like, you get something good in return. Like, I really hope you do not take the Lakers offer, because that just... Can you imagine Voldemort on the rebuilding Pelicans? Like, you don't want that mess.
Oh, God.
Wait for the Celtics and pray Danny Ainge doesn't try to cheap out on you for once.
Can I just say that I would love to see AD in Milwaukee?
Ooh.
They don't have the trade assets whatsoever, but
yeah.
Oh, I would him just love Giannis. It. Oh, him God. And Giannis, I would love it if he actually, or better yet, the Nuggets. Like, he wanted, wow, like, a staple system. Like, could you imagine if Davis was like, you know what? I'm only gonna re-sign with the Nuggets.
They have assets.
They do. They have assets, and Paul Millsap is coming off the cap.
Yeah,
like, it could be swung. It's just a matter of where Davis wanted to go.
Yeah.
I would respect the hell out of Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
If he said no to LA, no to Boston, and was like, hey, look, Denver.
Yeah.
I can still get my points because no one else there is, you know, averaging 25, 30. Right. I can still get my points. I'll have a center who's going to average like 15 assists setting me up every day.
Yeah.
I'll have defensive-oriented wings and guards, and I'll have, like, Jamal Murray, who's eventually going to be a 45% three-point shooter. Like, if he's actually honest with himself about wanting to go to a place that can consistently win and create a long-term championship window, the very, very best situation is in Denver.
I agree with that. And Andy Glockner brought that up the other day. That, like,
oh, he did?
Well, he just said that Denver has the assets to, like, really swing a superstar deal. It's just a matter of if and when they pull the trigger. But, yeah, like, you have Gary Harris, Jamal Murray as the starting points of any deal. You have Will Barton signed to a pretty reasonable contract. You have Trey Lyles, Michael Porter Jr., Hernan Gomez. Like, you got some assets. Malik Beasley's in there. Monta Morris.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of dudes.
Yeah.
And it's not going to cost, like, the depth necessarily, because they're going to be so good, they can still get a lot of guys for cheap.
Right.
In free agency. They'll still... I even think they have a few picks still owed them.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Well, but they can go in a trade as well if necessary. Yeah. But, like, yeah, that's just another asset. Yeah. But I'm just saying, 80 to Denver?
All right. That's the official podcast position is... Anthony Davis should go to Denver. Yep. Deal. Good. All right. Well, we'll obviously have a lot more on this. I mean, again, we don't expect this to be resolved between now and next Thursday. So if it does, we'll clearly do an emergency pod immediately. But if it doesn't, we will have plenty to talk about between now and July, unfortunately. Let's change gears, though, and let's do your favorite topic, Mort. Mm-hmm. All-Star. We got the reserves named Thursday.
I could barely sleep. I could barely sleep. You're
so excited. I know.
Yes.
I know.
I am all in on the All-Star.
eagerly yeah. counting down the minutes until you hear Carl Anthony Towns is an all-star.
Oh, yummy. Yummy, yummy. And look, so many threes in my tummy. I'm looking forward to it. Just like for the all-star game to start, I'm just sitting up every day right now, every night, just getting my body acclimated to U.S. time so I can observe the all-star game and take like 4 pages of notes because, delicious.
High-quality play all around.
Yep.
Well, so we have the starters on each side. There are 7 reserves yet to be named. Let's run through the guys. We'll do this conference by conference. We'll start with the East because it's just sad. Let's go through guys who I think should be locks for reserves, and then we'll go through the guys, you know, the last couple spots that I think are probably a little more open. I think Blake Griffin is a lock.
Yep.
I think Ben Simmons is a lock.
He should be.
I think Bradley Beal is a lock.
Yeah, also should be.
And I think Nikola Vucevic should be a lock as well.
I hope for his sake that he is, because he's just having so good a season, and you don't really know if he can replicate it. I think he can.
Right.
But this is the thing about All-Star. When a guy has a good year, even though he may not be like one of those perennial guys, like he should be awarded.
So I think those 4 hopefully are the locks. I want Victor Oladipo. I think had he been healthy, he probably would be a lock. It's just like the injury clouds that, but I hope the coaches name him as an all-star and then Adam Silver just gets to appoint a replacement.
Yeah, that would be fine because then he gets the all-star nod next to his screen. Yeah, that's fine. I can go along with that.
Like, he's deserving of it.
Yeah.
I think after that, this is where, if you want to argue about conference imbalance, I think after that, you know, there's 2 spots left in theory. I don't think any of the remaining guys would make it if they were in the West.
All right, let's go for it.
So I think the guys who are still in contention are Jimmy Butler, Eric Bledsoe.
Yeah, no.
Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, no.
Chris Middleton.
Nope.
Pascal Siakam.
No.
Or Andre Drummond. Like, I don't know who else is in there.
Oh, I mean, Andre, I think he's got this big name recognition.
Yeah.
I think he'll get in because of the name, but he's not been as good as I thought he'd be after having a full training camp with Blake.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is last year, he showed off much more playmaking than he had in years past, and then they got Blake, and that just went right back into the toilet, and now this year he's at 1.2 assists per game. I think the things working in Drummond's favor are he's averaging a career-high 16.5 points, he's leading the league with 14.9 rebounds, but he is shooting a career-worst 49.9% overall, and is still just awful at the free throw line.
Yeah, no, actually, and with, you know, I think I'm going to echo Zach Lowe, actually, in regards to Jimmy Butler and just giving him, like, the 1-year Knicks.
Yeah, I know. I do wonder if coaches are just like, no, you submarine the Timberwolves and you're already getting a little, you know, a little...
Big-headed.
Yeah, like, you're already mouthing off about your fit in Philly's system, too. Like, F you, guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair as well, by the way.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if he makes it in, but I don't know. I don't feel strongly about any of the remaining guys, unfortunately.
No. I don't either. And here's the thing. If Mike Conley had played in the East...
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You're like, Drew Holiday's in the East. Yeah. Steven Adams is in the East.
No. Let's not... I mean, I know I had Steven Adams earlier. That was more of a line instead of Rush, right?
But, okay. Yeah, true. Yeah. All right. DeMar DeRozan's in the East?
Yeah.
Even, I mean, we'll talk about Luka shortly, but if Luka was in the East?
Luka is in the West and still absolutely deserving. So
I know. Well, so that's what I'm saying. It's just, I think there are...
Luka would be a starter in the East.
Probably. Well, does he... Was he? No, he counted as front court, right? I think he was front court.
Oh, he's front court? I don't care. I know. I do care. I do love All-Star. I should have known. I should have known. I'm so sorry, Brian.
Yeah. Well, if he was a guard, he definitely would have been a starter at least.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, like, So do you have any strong preferences about who gets these last two spots?
I couldn't care less.
Fine. I'll say... I mean, I've seen a lot of Siakam buzz. And I'd say that one surprises me the most.
Yeah, okay, so I get it. I mean, because they want two All-Stars.
Right. But like,
and Kyle has just not been that dude.
Right.
Although, yeah, you know, there are some guys who are like, Carl, oh, you should be an All-Star starter. Uh-huh. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not there.
The narrative around Kyle Lowry all year has been like, is he throwing a season-long temper tantrum? Because yeah, he's looked like really passive next to Kawhi.
Yeah, I've seen those takes. And no. I mean, that's fine. I don't agree with them whatsoever.
Right. Yeah. No.
I think Siakam has a case. I will give him that. Like, he has a case. Mm-hmm. He's at 15 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, shooting 56% from the field, 80% from the line. He's also, you know, above 32 now from downtown, which is like tremendous progress.
And really good defensively, yeah.
Very good defensively. And just one of those guys you just cannot live without, really, if you're a winning team. Mm-hmm. So if he's chosen, I wouldn't hate it. I mean, I wouldn't sit there going, oh, that's not underserving.
Right.
At all. I mean, that's fine. It's just not one of those guys where you go, oh, he's an all-star. But right. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, he doesn't stand out as, like, an obvious all-star, I would say that much. I mean, like, if you're just going on per-game stats, which I hope the coaches are not, but
yeah,
who knows? But if you're right, just going based on that, he would have the worst stat line of any guy he gets chosen over. Mm-hmm. I mean, I get the case for him, too, as you said. Toronto, as one of the best teams in the East, it seems weird that they would get only one, whereas the Sixers are, like, guaranteed to get two and possibly three.
Yeah,
but in the case of both Toronto and Milwaukee, their strength, aside from having Kawhi and Giannis respectively, their strength is their depth. Like, both teams go legit 9-10 deep, whereas Philly is like, they have four really good players.
Four. That's fair.
Because JJ too, yep. And then it's like, Furkan Korkmaz has been playing minutes this year. I mean, like, the you know, yeah. They're just so much more top-heavy that I think I understand. Like, it seems weird to give them more All-Stars than two or three teams slated above them. But right. They, like, that's just the way their team is constructed, which is bad. that's not a good sign, but that's just the reality right now. It's like, Philly's really top-heavy, whereas Toronto, Milwaukee, even Boston, like, I can't make a case for anyone else on Boston to be an all-star.
No.
Horford?
Al has been... No.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. And Al has not been the same guy. He's still amazing, and he still does a lot of the little things, but right. He's lost a step, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like he's been dealing with knee tendonitis for a lot of the year.
Yeah.
So
it's just not in the cards. This guy's not deserving at all because he's playing for an 11-win team.
Okay.
But I would just like to give Zach LaVine one game off of Jim Boylan.
That's fair.
Because Zach LaVine is miserable right now.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Under Boylan. It's unbelievable. He hates him. It's so transparent. And every game, he's mentally checked out from the very beginning. Like, I just want to give him a game. I don't care if it's an all-star. Just give him a game outside of Boylan to just let him be loose a little bit, just for fun. And, he'll entertain the kids for crying out loud.
Yeah. I saw the picture of, like, him and a couple of the other guys just, like, staring into the ground as they were on the bench. Like, you could just tell they are so miserable.
Everyone hates it there.
Yeah.
Everyone hates it. So that's why you know what? Get as many Bulls players as you can into the All-Star game just so they can get a break. They deserve it.
They'll get will Markkanen be in the rookie sophomore game, do you think?
No idea. I mean, could be. Could very well be. And you know what? He's one of those guys who can actually win the MVP in that game because he'll just launch.
True. He'll just gun. And like Carter is hurt, so he's got a 2-month reprieve at least. That's nice.
Yeah.
Do you think he hurt himself to just get away?
Just like this, the thumb, just like, this is going to hurt, man. But you know what?
Yeah.
No more Boylan.
It. It's like The Prestige. Chandler Hutchison, too, probably did the exact same thing. And then the Bulls played him on 41 minutes on a broken foot. It was great.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course, yeah. They did.
One other wild card before we move to the West. D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, I like that.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not sure if he's in, but I do want to provide him with some sense of, like, appreciation for what he's done so far. Like, he's averaging 19 points, 6.5 assists, and he's doing that in under 30 minutes a game. And he's, like, what, 3 triples a game almost? Yeah.
2.7. Yeah.
If he just got to the line a little bit more, this dude would be a 25-point scorer.
Yeah.
I'll give him that because they're like 27 and 23.
Yeah, I know. They're like one of the hottest teams in the NBA over the last month. It's not team success factors in, and he has the team success working for him. So our picks for the East, our reserves are Griffin, Simmons, Vooch, Beal, Oladipo, Russell. Who are we going with the last spot?
And remember, Oladipo will be replaced by someone else, so we need to take that into consideration as well. Yeah. So we need two players.
Well, Adam Silver will do the honors for that last one. Thank
you. Hey, Adam. Thank God it's not us.
Yeah, right. Good luck picking between this trash heap.
Well, okay. Did we go Siakam?
I'm going Butler just because I'm a homer. Because I want him to get we need to like fluff his ego, because otherwise he's gonna like take a nuclear bomb to our team. I would probably go Drummond.
It's between those three, right?
Yeah,
but I kind of like the whole idea of just keeping Butler out the All-Star game for 1 year just to prove a point.
I do too, actually.
So it's down to Drummond or Siakam. I'm gonna go with Siakam. You know why? Okay. Because he's having a good year. He's contributing to, you know, a winning ball club.
Yeah.
And if Kawhi leaves, that team is not going to be very good next year. And then he's going to be overlooked.
Mm-hmm.
And so at least I want him to get, like, an all-star nod in.
Okay. That's fair. You know what? I might actually change to Middleton just because I've caped so long for him that...
Yeah.
I know he's not having a great season, but I don't care.
He's
I want
really
him in.
Not. Yeah, that's... I mean, had he played like last year, I would have totally put him in. Yeah.
Either way, the last couple spots are just gross.
Yep.
All right, let's flip to the West, though. Because unlike the East, the last couple spots are a bloodbath here.
Mm-hmm.
So, LeBron, Steph, Harden, Durant, and George are the starters. I think it's fair to say Anthony Davis is a lock.
Davis is a lock.
Nikola Jokic is a lock.
Nikola Jokic is certainly a lock.
Damian Lillard is a lock.
Obviously.
And hold back your vomit, but Russell Westbrook is also a lock. Just keep the bile in, but you know it to be true.
I know it's going to happen. Yeah. I don't agree with it, but yeah.
I know. But he's in. So
all right.
Well, that leaves three spots for, and I know I'm going to leave out at least someone here, but at least there are 10, 11, 12 guys in contention for that. Clint Capella is probably out just because of the injury.
Injury, yep.
Yeah. So you got Luka Doncic.
And
Rudy Gobert.
Lock.
Tobias Harris.
Lock.
Well, you just locked up. That's it. All right. So Klay Thompson.
Out.
Karl-Anthony Towns.
Out.
Mike Conley.
Out, unfortunately.
Marc Gasol.
Out.
DeMar DeRozan.
Out.
LaMarcus Aldridge. That's rude. He's having a good year.
All right, sure. No, but I mean, look at the Spurs, though. I mean, this is not there doing its pops. I mean...
look at the Spurs. That's the really point. They're 29 right and 22. Now. They're... I mean... Okay. All this...
That's Jesse pop. That's all pop.
Jesse Blanchard is mad at you. Shout out to Jesse. Yeah. Drew Holiday.
No.
De'Aaron Fox.
No, not yet.
And Steven Adams.
Nope.
Okay. So let's talk Luka first. Because I agree that, I mean, I wrote an article for the Basketball Writers on Friday that was titled, Put Luka Doncic in the All-Star Game, You Cowards.
Yes.
And then he went out and dropped 35, 12, and 10 on the Raptors on Sunday and made me look very smart. He became, like, the youngest player ever to have two triple-doubles, youngest player to ever have a 30-point triple-double.
Yeah, 30-point triple-double, yeah.
Yeah. He's really good. Like, he's just absurdly...
I can't swear, but no something, Sherlock. I mean, yeah.
So, actually, now, because of the 30-pointer, he's above 20 points. But before that, he was averaging, like, 19, 6, and 5. Only four rookies in NBA history have done that. And it was Michael Jordan, Oscar Robertson, and Grant Hill. I believe if you bump it up to 20 points, that knocks out Hill. So he's just with Oscar and MJ.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, you know how I feel about Doncic. I'll just read you the numbers from the past 20 games he's played.
Please do.
And remember, in these past 20 games, he only averaged 31.6 minutes a game.
Okay.
Which is, like, actually slightly low for a starting caliber player, if you're right.
All right. And he's also fat and didn't play in college. We're going to preface
that. Oh, yeah, of course. Right. Yeah, okay. Obviously. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So in those 31.6 minutes, this Euro trash fat ass Doncic
right.
averaged only 23.5 points, 7.2 rebounds, 6.2 assists, 2.7 triples a game on 35.3 shooting.
Mm-hmm.
What an overrated Euro.
Garbage.
Like, yeah.
Could he do it against Marquette, though? That's my real question. Like, yes, he did it against
maybe
the
Marquette,
Raptors.
But Ohio State, though?
Yeah, I know. It's tough. It's really tough to imagine. I mean, look, like, the kid's one of the best clutch scorers in the NBA already. And, like, and that's not hyperbole. Like, go look at NBA.com/stats and look up the clutch numbers, and he is one of the most prolific. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, so that the arguments against him will be team success, because the Mavericks are the fourth worst team in the West right now.
Mm-hmm.
And his advanced metrics are not, like, stellar. He's not, at least as of Friday, he was, like, yeah, he wasn't among the top 40 in real plus minus. He wasn't in the top 100 of player impact plus minus. He wasn't top 50 in player efficiency rating or top 25 in value over replacement player. You know, we were mocking this.
Oh, no. A 19-year-old that's not owning the league immediately? What are we going to do?
So those are the arguments against him. Team success, I think you should throw out immediately. Because, like,
completely.
Who is the second best player on his team?
Barnes? I guess.
It's either, yeah, it's like him or DeAndre Jordan, who has literally just been loafing around and cashing that check for half a season.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, look, he's playing with virtually no one.
Right.
And then, you know, then you have the guys going, oh, and that's why his stats are inflated.
Yeah.
Yeah. About that, he's doing it efficiently, so.
And, like, teams know where the Mavericks are going with the ball at the end of the game.
Right.
And he's still doing it.
Exactly.
Like, I mean, his step backs alone are for a 19-year-old kid to be able to do what he's doing right now is preposterous. I know competition is fierce out west. I know All-Stars, like, it's very rare to have a rookie in the All-Star game. Blake Griffin was the last rookie, quote unquote. Sorry, Donovan Mitchell, but he missed his first season, but in his first season they played, he was an All-Star, and then before that it was Yao Ming. So the odds are working against him historically. But then again, like, again, he's putting himself in the conversation. He's 26-5. If you add in his three-pointers, he's the only rookie in NBA history to be averaging that kind of line.
Yeah. Like, and he was so close to actually catching Markkanen as being the quickest to ever reach 100 threes as well.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, like, when you put yourself in historical conversations, then I think you at least deserve to be in the All-Star conversation or All-Star game. Frankly, like, he should be in. He's having a better season than Klay Thompson. He's having a better season than Karl-Anthony Towns, who is mediocre. Yeah, until Jimmy Butler left. Gobert?
Wait. I actually have a question, because you know, you and I have made a lot of fun about, you know, the anti-Doncic wave before the draft and whatnot.
Right.
I actually think this is a good time, because we're discussing him also in, like, an All-Star caliber, you know, context.
Mm-hmm.
to take it a little bit more serious this time around. I'm going to ask you, as an American,
okay,
why do you think there was this big backlash towards Doncic? Because, you know, I should have saved all those tweets then and gone on an arch retweet Armageddon like, you know, all you Philly guys did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm still so flabbergasted when I think back at, like, those 2 months before the draft.
Yeah.
Like, he was crapped on to, like, extremes because of his nationality.
I think it's less... I think it comes down to two things. One... Casual basketball fans, for whatever reason, think the NCAA is the best league outside of the NBA, which is like patently untrue. I mean, I forget where I saw this the other day, but like there was some Vegas sports book offered a line of like if Duke played the Cavaliers right now, and you know Duke went into the season with projected as the number one, number two, and number three picks overall, and Zion, RJ Barrett, and Cam Reddish. So in theory. Like three top end NBA players, the line was -22.5 for the Cavs.
All right.
Like that just speaks to the volume of like, yeah, sure, you have three top end players and the rest of the, like Trey Jones is an NBA player probably, but like,
yeah,
it, no NCAA team remotely compares to an NBA team, the worst NBA team. The same is likely true for any European team, but like the quality of play is better. These guys are professional basketball players. It's right. Not heresy to say that there is better basketball being played in Europe than there is, not in every league in Europe, but in the top leagues in Europe, is better than the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
like part Real of it, Madrid.
Yeah. So I think part of it was like the Spanish ACB is the league.
Yeah.
So I think part of it is pro NCAA bias. Which is dumb. And part of it is, like, you can't factor in, I guess this is also, it all comes together, like, you can't factor in quality of competition when you're seeing the numbers Luka puts up. But also, there's probably just, like, people just didn't see him as much. You could only watch him, unless you're, like, really devoted to scouting Luka Doncic, his games weren't on TV here. You know, you're watching, like, YouTube highlights of him, which is... admittedly not the best way to cobble together a big board. So even if you watched his highlights, even if you never saw his game, like a game of his, a full game of his, and you just watched his highlights, you could see the skill set that was going to make him special in the NBA. But if you weren't paying attention, and if you were just looking at, oh, it's like a doughy white 18-year-old kid, like he's not going to be anything, then you were just ignoring, like it was obvious. I mean, you didn't have to talk me into Doncic being the number one pick. Like, I was right there with you. But I think it's just a lot of subconscious bias, like, the way he looks and the lack of exposure here, at least in the months leading up to the draft. Like, there's still just that, like, Darko Milicic unknown factor.
Milicic's PTSD.
Right. Even though, like, scouting has increased tenfold over the last 15 years and it's gotten so much better, there's still always that like, will this kid be the next Darko?
Right. The thing that confused me the most was because I get the whole not being able to see him argument.
Yeah.
But like, then why are you commenting? Why are you commenting on this thing? Like, oh, he's overrated. Like, if you haven't seen him play, if you only like dug into YouTube for half an hour, like, why comment?
Have you been on the internet
recently? Yeah, I have. Yeah, I know. Like, I know. I may be slightly disappointed in our lack of evolution in that front.
Right. But like, why are you commenting? Because that's like, when's the last time someone read an article and commented? You see the headline and you're immediately triggered. That's what...
True. That's true.
You know?
Fair enough.
Yeah. So all right. I
think so you boil it down to stupidity, more or less.
Yeah. Okay. I think so. I mean, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah. I don't disagree. I wanted to hear you say it, so I just wanted to see why. I mean, if it was me or, you know,
no. I mean, there were a lot of, to be fair, there were a lot of American, like draft analyst expert type people, who were all in on Luka right away. Like,
yeah,
credit to guys like Cole Zwicker, who was like, don't overthink this, you idiots. Like,
yeah,
he's like not only the best prospect this year, he's the best prospected, but like he's that good.
Like, yeah, that was Cole's mantra for like a month. Don't overthink this. Like,
and then two and teams did.
Yeah. Yeah, three.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So all right. So we have Luka in.
Yeah.
You had Gobert and Harris as locks as well.
Yes. So
why over all the rest of the guys, I guess? Let's just fully encompass
Gobert because, you know, as we talked about previously, like he's gotten back to being like the defensive ace that he is.
Yeah.
And also, I think people are still sleeping on his offensive game.
Yeah.
He's becoming a better playmaker, and he's, you know, a fairly effective scorer. He's averaging 15 points a game, and he's taking like under 9 shots. He's getting to the foul line 6 times a game. Sure, he's like at 65%, but that's okay for a big man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, well, could be better. I'm not saying he should stop improving, but
right.
It's a solid number to be at for someone of that, you know, of something, someone from that caliber and who's not offensively inclined, so to say.
Yeah.
He's a low turnover player as well. Mm-hmm. Only 1.5 a game. Mm-hmm. And he's not really fouling a whole lot despite being on the court for 32 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, he's just disciplined, and he understands the game plan, and he's effective and knows his limitations and all, you know, all the usual kind of, you know, bingo words and buzzwords you can apply to him, but mm-hmm. he's doing it, and that deserves a selection.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm right with you. I think, like, we talked about him last episode when we were talking, you know, making our midseason award picks, and we noted that the Jazz defense has gotten significantly better. They're now fourth in the league. His defense as well. You know, he was not spectacular at the start of the season. He's back to being spectacular. Like, he's back to being the defensive player of the year caliber player we knew he was away. I mean, here's the argument you make for Gobert. With him on the court, the Jazz are 7.4 points better than their opposition. With him off the court, they're 5.6 points worse. So it's a swing of 13 points with him on the court. And this is all per 100 possessions. But that's the highest mark on the Jazz. And it's, I'm going to, you know, I'll look through these guys as we talk about them, but I'm going to guess that's a higher mark than most of the other guys in contention for this. So I'm with you. Gobert should be in.
And while we're on the Jazz, by the way, can I just point something out?
Yeah.
The reason I don't have Donovan Mitchell in is because he just had a slow start.
Oh, yeah.
The current Donovan Mitchell, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to read you some stats here because his past 12 games.
Okay, I had his 10, but okay.
All right, 12 games for me.
Yeah.
29.7 points per game, 4.6 rebounds, 5.6 assists, 1.4 steals, 0.7 blocks. He's hitting 3 triples a game at 41%. Getting to the line 7.6 times a game. Like, he's been beasting. And this was the Donovan Mitchell I was looking for when, before the season, I said Donovan is going to average 25 this year.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, to be fair, he's only 2.5 points away from that. He can get there if he continues this for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm with you in saying he shouldn't be in, but, like, if... Yeah. January Donovan Mitchell was full season Donovan Mitchell, he would be. I forget who reported this. I want to say Zach Lowe, maybe? Or someone said the other day that, like, he had a lingering toe issue that, you know, like, carried into the offseason. So the Jazz kind of expected him to get off to a slow start. But this Donovan Mitchell of late is, like, what they expected him to become, basically. So I mean, he'll be, if he keeps this up, he'll be in the All-Star game next year. I think it's fair to say.
So by the way, if Utah calls up New Orleans and says, well, we know that Boston has, you know, Jason Tatum offered for AD, we'll give you Donovan Mitchell right now. What side are you leading?
Ooh.
I'm going Mitchell. Yeah. I'm going Mitchell.
Man, that's tough. Yeah, I'd probably go Mitchell right now.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Utah would have no guards if they complete that trade.
Right, which would be a disaster.
But, like, Gobert and AD up front, like, they could win off defense alone.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Okay, you had Tobias Harris as a lock as well.
Again, one of those reasons, like, for you know, for a guy having a very good season that you don't really know for sure that if he can replicate.
Right.
So I just wanted to lock him up. So we can make sure that he gets that one game in.
He gets, I mean, he's close to the 50-40-90 club right now.
Yes, he is. I've been tracking that for like a month now.
Yeah, he's at 50.1 overall, 43.2 from three, 88.5 from the free throw line. Averaging a team high 21.1 points per game, almost eight rebounds, two threes, 2.5 assists. The Clippers are currently in the eighth spot in the West, two games ahead of the Lakers. I think that that last spot, I mean, I genuinely don't know if Luka makes it in. I hope he does, but I think, assuming him and Gobert do make it in, I think the last spot probably comes down to Harris, probably DeRozan, and then Drew and Towns.
You know who we should give some love to?
Who?
Tobias Harris's teammate, Danilo Gallinari.
Yeah, he's hurt now, though.
No, I mean, you can get him in there and then choose
No, I don't think he'd...
But like 19 points, 6 boards, 2.5 assists. Like, his true shooting percentage is 62.2.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's played really well this season.
Yeah.
And like, again, if he was in the East, he probably would sneak in.
Oh, yeah.
As
oh,
one for of sure. Last for you guys. I think... I hope Golden State fans aren't mad when... people say Klay Thompson shouldn't be an all-star this year.
But like, well, let's go into that. Let's go into that because he's just, he's been off.
He's gotten hot. He has these games where he gets hot. Right. But he just hasn't been the full version. I mean, he's shooting a career low 38.0% from three, which is absurd that that's his career low, but it's beside the point.
You know, taking the most shots. He's ever done. Yeah.
Yeah. He's just not. It's just not quite there. Again, if he's in the East, he's in, he's the number 10 guy. He's in probably over Oladipo, even. Like, he's a lock for sure. But he's in the West, and, like, there are guys with more convincing cases, I would argue.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, like, the case for Towns is he's averaging nearly 23 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, a steal, nearly 2 triples. Like, if you're just going on per-game numbers, he's in. But the Timberwolves are terrible, and he was not great for the first couple, at least couple weeks of the season until Jimmy Butler got out of town. And now, now he's putting up numbers on a bad team. But I don't know that you reward that over a Tobias Harris who's actually contributing to a winning team, or Rudy Gobert, who's contributing to a winning team, or Luka Doncic, who's like the clear, I think it's fair to say Towns has more talent around him than Luka Doncic does.
Yes. And, which sounds absurd, but it's true. Robert Covington, like Dario Saric, even to some extent Andrew Wiggins, because like we cannot deny the talent level of Wiggins. It's more the execution of it.
He had 35 points the other night. Well, his breakout. Yeah, his breakout's coming, man.
14,000 minutes into his NBA career. Oh, here we go.
Yeah. Like, DeRozan's a tough exclusion because he is averaging 21.5, 6.3 assists, 6.2 rebounds. The Spurs are, like, as always, the Spurs are defying expectations and are right in the thick of the playoff race, even though it's DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, and then, like, Rudy Gay's been having a good season, but, their fourth leading scorer right now is Bryn Forbes. Their fifth leading scorer is Marco Bellinelli. This team has no business being in the playoff race.
I agree. I think most of that comes down to Pop, but I will say this. Again, like you've said several times, if DeRozan was on an Eastern squad, he'd be in. Yeah. So, I mean, this is not some, a dig at DeRozan.
No.
It's just a matter of being, there are superior players out there. And if, I've seen a few people say, seniority, Doncic isn't right there yet. Well, Doncic, is better.
Yeah. It's just, it's a numbers game. So
yeah.
This is advice to all of you listening out there who are like have to do an all-star snubs piece later this week. Pro tip is only do players in the West, because yeah. whoever gets left out in the East, no one cares. Like no one should be upset about that, unless it's like Ben Simmons or you know or Blake Griffin or something. Like then,
right.
That's a legit snub. But
yeah,
like,
there's no snubs in the East this year.
If like
none.
Chris Middleton gets left out, or Pascal Siakam, or Kyle Lowry, yeah. or Eric Bledsoe, it is not a snub. It's just you were choosing between some whatever seasons. But like the West, there are going to be some really impressive seasons being left out this year. So that's just only Western Conference players.
Can you imagine if Dave doesn't come in? Like, of course he's right, a lock,
know,
but could you imagine? Oh, like he would come out next year and average like 35. I almost want to see it just because of that, like the revenge factor.
That's why I almost want to see Luka not make it.
Oh,
then he's
that's
gonna
unfair.
Fire and brimstone for the rest of the season. It'll be great.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you might get your wish. I could see a world where you know DeRozan is chosen over Doncic. It'd be a wrong world, but I could see it.
Yeah. I could too. So we have our 200th episode coming up next. We will, barring an Anthony Davis blockbuster this week, we will likely be doing that on Friday, where we can react to the All-Star snubs and then give a breakdown, a little preview of the NBA trade deadline. So get excited for that. In the meantime, you can find us on Twitter at the NBA Pod. Our Twitter handles are in our bio, so give us a follow as well. You can also find us on iTunes, so please subscribe, download, leave some 5-star reviews. And we're now being hosted on Spreaker, so check them out on Twitter at Spreaker. Until next time, I'm Brian Toporek, and I was joined, as always, by Morten Jensen. Have a good one, Mort.
You too, Brian. Was this our final All-Star-related pod this year?
Nope. All-Star snubs on Friday, baby.
Yay. Hey. Can't wait, Brian. Talk to you then.